Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge. I'm glad to have you with us. We are scheduled to be talking this morning in this part of Focus 580 with John Hagelin. He is a candidate for president here in the state of Illinois. He appears on the ballot as the candidate of the Reform Party. In some other states, he is the candidate of the Natural Law Party. He, in fact, is the founder, co-founder of the Natural Law Party. That was in 1992, and he has run twice as the Natural Law candidate for president in 92 and 96. In some states, he is also listed as an independent. In some states, he's making an attempt at being a write-in candidate. The plan was that they were going to call us, and we have been waiting, and so far we haven't gotten the call yet. If he calls, we'll put him on. Otherwise, I guess we will take the other option that we sometimes do when things don't work out as we planned, and that is just throw the lines open and do an open line. But certainly, if any day would be appropriate for talking about politics and attitudes towards candidates and voting and political coverage, this would be the day. So if you have comments, I'd certainly be happy to have them about politics in general. You can give us a call, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. We all should certainly take a moment here to talk a little bit about the coverage that we have planned for tonight. You can tune in to any of our stations. AM, FM, TV will be there online to provide coverage. Jack Brighton, who is one of the producers for Focus 580, here stepped into the studio for a moment. And I believe that also you will be anchoring tonight the coverage.
Master's ceremony.
That's right. And of course, there are, in addition, there will be just about everybody else will be busy and will be doing some air work. Our reporters are going to be out there in the field. We're going to be collecting information and trying to get some vote totals out. So trying to provide a variety of coverage.
Right.
And starting at, let me see.
8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock tonight. Okay, so. I know. Brian, I think Brian's tied up with the taking some phone calls. We'll get some people lined up here in just a second. But we do want to say just for people who want to have that option. So what kind of things you're thinking you're going to be doing tonight?
Well, it's actually going to be very exciting. We're going to have numbers reported from all the county courthouses in like a very quick fashion. We're reporting those on the air and also online via graphs. If people want to look at our election website, will.uiuc.edu, just click on Election 2000 and you will see a graphic representation of the vote throughout the 15th Congressional District. There are 11 counties. We've got people in 11 county courthouses. They're going to report back the numbers, and we're going to update the numbers very quickly. The reason we're doing that is because we were very unhappy last time around, the last few times actually, with the numbers we were getting from Associated Press. They just weren't fast enough, and so we felt like we wanted to do a better job. We're going to do that tonight. Also, we're going to have some in-studio commentary from Brian Gaines, who teaches political science here at the University of Illinois. He's a national political watcher. We'll have Sam Gove from the Institute of Government and Public Affairs commenting on some of the state issues and races in the state of Illinois. And Bill Wheelhouse from Illinois Public Radio, the Capitol Bureau chief there, will talk with him from time to time. And, of course, National Public Radio's coverage. It'll be, you know, sort of a magazine format around the clock from 8 till whenever.
Okay. And maybe what I see, we have a number of callers here, so people, we can talk with some folks. Maybe also at some point today, if you like, but at some point, we would certainly be interested in hearing some people who were using our special election webpage, mm-hmm. and to find out, you know, what did you think? Was that, did you appreciate having that information there? Was it useful to you? Is there something different? Because we certainly, and Jack particularly, put in a lot of hours on this thing, hoping that it would be something that you could use. And we know that some people have been accessing it. It's a little, I guess it's a little difficult to know exactly how many people and what parts of it they're using.
Right.
But it certainly makes it, one thing that we can do with that and have done is that all of the material that we've had on the air is there. Mm-hmm. So if people missed something when it was first broadcast, Focus 580 or Candidate, the things that our reporters did with talking to candidates, features that they produced. All that stuff is there, so people who have the internet access can go there and can listen to it anytime that they want.
Right.
So at some point, if you found that was good, you know, maybe you might drop us a line, an email, regular mail, and let us know, because we're certainly interested.
It was sort of an experiment because we wanted to see what we could do with this new technology. The other thing that we have going is the Election 2000 newsletter, which is an email newsletter we've been sending out. Not a lot of people have signed up for it. I think it's a very experimental thing at this point, but it's worked out real well for those who have actually subscribed to this thing. It's a free service, and we'll keep doing it after the election in a number of other ways.
Okay. Well, let me just mention again that we've had a little change of plans this morning. We were expecting to talk with John Hagelin, candidate of in this state of the Reform Party and others of Natural Law. This is his third, I believe, his third run for the presidency. He did twice with Natural Law Party. And I believe last week his campaign called and said, would you like to talk to him? And we said, sure. And they said, okay, we set it up for today. And they said, we'll call you. We're still waiting.
Waiting for the call.
Waiting for the call. If he does call, we'll talk with him. Otherwise, this is a probably pretty good day to be doing a political open line. So we'll do that. And in fact, the lines are full. So we'll start right in. We'll go to line number one. The caller is Urbana. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Mm-hmm. I have been so happy with WILL Radio and TV's coverage of the election. It's been wonderful. And I don't have a website myself, and I don't have access to a computer, so I can't comment on the fact that you can replay all these things via the computer. I think it's just a great idea, though. Do want to urge people to vote today, and also I'm a very partisan person. I'm hoping people do not vote for Nader, but will vote for Gore instead. So that's what I'm urging, is for the Nader people to say, we can't have a Republican presidency, we need to have a Democratic presidency. So thanks for giving me a chance to air my views.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you for the call. Let's go on here. We'll go to Champagne. It's next on line number two. Hello.
Hi, David. Thank you so much. Echoing what is just stated, for it's wonderful you're going to have the Gaines and Gore team on. PBS coverage. Focus has been marvelous about getting candidates online, and that's why we support WILL so much. I'm wondering in the campaign why so little has been dealt with the foreign affairs area. It seems there's been so much focus on the domestic situation. Of course, there's plenty there. But personally, I feel that our Vice President Gore is so well qualified in the foreign affairs area. He's entered into lots of things, and I just can't imagine the governor of Texas sitting there in international settlement with some of the major problems that face us. So I hope people will think about that when they're voting today, and vote for Gore, please. Mm.
I think it's that's an interesting question, and about why perhaps foreign affairs aren't played more prominently. And I would think that the answer, not claiming to be an expert on American politics, but I would think that the answer most people would give is that most Americans aren't that interested in foreign policy, and what is most important to most Americans are domestic issues. And that's particularly true now that we're in the post-Cold War era. I'm not saying that that should be the case, but it is my sort of general feeling that that is the case out there in America, that that there isn't a great deal of interest in foreign affairs.
Right, and that's too bad, because we shouldn't be in a know-nothing inward-looking situation when so much depends on us. We're world leaders. We need world leadership at the top of the White House. Thanks so much. I'll give room for others.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Here.
Then in that case, you have a You have a household where I'm sure a lot of time is spent discussing politics, right?
Well, we give it our all, but the domestic situation is our major focus today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
Thanks so much for being there for all of us.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Let's go to Urbana next, line three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I wanted to take this opportunity to bring your attention and the attention of your listeners to something that's been going on for Nader supporters here in Urbana. I'm a Nader supporter, and a lot of the other Nader supporters I know have woken up almost every morning for the last week and found that our Nader lawn signs have been ripped up, thrown away, torn into small pieces. This has gotten to be more and more severe the closer to the election it's gone on. Although I in no means mean to implicate any of the Democratic candidates for this, oftentimes people also have Democratic signs in their yard, and those are left untouched. I just wanted to express that this is, I mean, to me, a complete outrage. This is these are individuals who support one candidate trying to suppress the speech and the personal expressions of people who do not support that candidate or who support an oppositional candidate. Mm. That's outrageous to me. And it also seems to be a pretty silly tactic. If Democrats are concerned that people are supporting Nader, suppressing their ability to support Nader or their ability to express their viewpoint is only going to increase dissatisfaction with the Democratic Party and not bring us back.
I think I would agree with that, assuming that people are assuming that this is something that Democrats are doing.
That's definitely the feeling that all that I have and that the other people who this has happened to have had, just because our Democrat signs are not being ripped down, our Nader sign is. We've also gotten a lot of concerned citizens sending flyers in the mailboxes urging us not to vote for Nader. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Some of the timing of those has coincided rather suspiciously with the same time that the Nader signs have been ripped down.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, if I may, just because there has been this effort among Democrats to persuade Nader supporters to support Mr. Gore. What do you think about that, and particularly this argument that says, well, you Nader folks, you may be well-intentioned, but you're taking votes away from Mr. Gore, and so this is, in effect, it's almost as if you were voting for George Bush.
Well, I think that Al Gore has to convince me to vote for him through the positions that he espouses, through the policies that he says he's going to put in place. He's not been able to do that. He doesn't own my vote. Okay. Nader has been able to convince me. I support his policy positions. I support his record. I've been very, very, very disappointed with Clinton. I worked for Clinton in 1992. I didn't even vote for him in 96. I voted for Nader. If I was registering a protest vote in 96, I see no reason why, if I can actually start building a party in the year 2000, why I wouldn't do the same and vote for Nader.
Well, I appreciate your call.
All right.
I want to say thank you very much. We've got some other folks here who are ready to go, lined up. Maybe, again, I should mention that we were scheduled this morning on Focus 580 to talk with presidential candidate John Hagelin, candidate of the Reform Party here in the state of Illinois, and in other places, candidate of the Natural Law Party, party he helped to found. And in some places, he's actually running as an independent. He is not on the ballot in all states. He was going to call us, or his folks were going to call us, and didn't. And if we hear from him, say, before about 10:30, we'll still go ahead and talk with him. Otherwise, we're interested in your thoughts on this election day. You can give us a call, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. We'll go on. Here's caller in Freeport, line number four. Hello.
Yes. I was going to ask Professor Hagelin his stand on the death penalty. Workers' World newspaper has referred to Governor George Bush as Governor Death because of the some 121 executions during his term of governor in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And he's so concerned about the natural environment and saving life in all its forms, I suppose Hagelin would be not a big advocate of the death penalty, but he's not here, of course.
I did spend some time looking at their websites just to get some sense of what their positions on various issues were, and I don't remember whether they addressed that or not. And I have it here on the computer in front of me, and I see a number of things issues. Here we go, capital punishment. Well, let's just see what it says. It looks like that they don't, as I'm trying to read here very quickly, it looks as if they don't favor capital punishment. That would be my reading of what they have to say. They take a much more sort of preventive approach to the issue of crime. What they would argue is that if people lived in the right way, that we wouldn't have the kind of crime that we do. So I guess the answer that I think he would give would be that he would not be in favor of capital punishment.
Or people were living in the right social conditions.
I would think he'd probably agree with that, too.
Yeah. I actually interviewed John Hagelin last time around, and really his approach to crime is, as you say, preventive. They really take a sort of a transcendental meditation approach to a lot of social problems. Yeah. I mean, realistically, one has to say that if enough people practice certain meditation procedures and so forth, it has an effect on the social fabric. Not everyone has to meditate, but they feel that if there's a critical mass beyond which a lot of social problems start to resolve. And really, that may be sort of, not doing the argument justice in his eyes, but he's not here to articulate it, so that's the best I can do.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the answer to the question.
Of course.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Let's continue. We'll go to Dunlap. Which is line number one. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because by this time tomorrow, all of the advertisements, all of the rhetoric, everything will be done. And so I'm calling to ask if anyone else has, I have some old political chestnuts that I'd like to repeat, and I wonder if anyone else would like to add a little bit of leavening to today's election. There is the one that says vote early and often. There is the one that says why would anyone run for public office for a job that pays $250,000 and spend hundreds of millions of dollars to gain that office, and so on. I think it's time to lighten up. Okay? Thank you.
All right. Good. Very good. I would certainly agree. In fact, we sort of made the decision that that on Focus 580 tomorrow morning, we would not talk about politics. We won't even get close. We're going to do car care and consumer electronics, two of our favorite non-controversial topics, at least it seems like it's non-controversial. So, I think that probably people who – voters probably are a little tired than most people, I expect, and I'm sure that people in the media who are consumed with the issue are probably a little tired of it too.
Yeah. I think everyone is feeling, however it ends up, it's going to be done, and there's going to be a big sigh of relief felt across the country. Now, that's not to say that we don't care about it. It's just that it has been very strenuous.
Well, and I do think that there is genuine feeling out there in the land that the campaign just goes on too long,
yeah,
and that it would be we'd all be better off if perhaps we could somehow make it a little bit shorter. And certainly there are many countries in which by legislatively, they have said, all right, it's only going to be this long. It's not going to go on for 2 years. It's going to be 2 months or something like that. And they seem to be able to get along pretty well. Well, any case here, we'll just keep on talking with people. We'll go next to Champagne, and this is line number two. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, David. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah.
I wish I could follow up the previous caller's levity, but I suppose I'm a bit more serious today. I am very excited about Election Day, and I'm making a vote not out of fear, not out of a vote for a lesser two evils, but indeed for the third-party candidate, Ralph Nader. Like the young woman in Urbana, my signs were ripped out too.
Wow.
They have been several times, and I've been to the Green Party's downtown office. I'm a Green Party member, and I'm supporting the candidate that the Green Party caucused and chose to support. I think folks ought to understand that regardless of how flaky they may have seen Ralph Nader over the past 40 years, he's an outstanding candidate, a candidate of great character and, I believe, great vision. Would he make the best president? Not necessarily, but I believe that it's a vote in conscience rather than a vote for fear. It's so heartwarming to make a decision on Election Day that doesn't make me want to throw up. And I voted for Nader in 96, and that was a protest vote, and Clinton in 92. and Dukakis before that. So I would just like to point out that I do enjoy the coverage that you folks have given towards local candidates. It's shameful, utterly disgraceful that the local broadcast news stations, television stations, lavish themselves with puppy dog stories and disgusting tidbits of nothingness while there are such crucial issues that that you folks have dedicated time to. It's too bad that that you folks aren't the norm, and then you could even elevate that bar further. It is laughable that in this town of highly educated people that we don't demand more of our local news, and we certainly get at least local coverage of politics from you. And I would like to say on the national level, NPR did a disgraceful job covering third-party candidates, in my opinion. We certainly got our fill of Bush and Gore over the past 2 years, and we really had to fight hard on a national level to hear any of the reporting of following of Nader or even, for God's sakes, Pat Buchanan, but he's a third-party candidate, the natural law candidates. I wonder, just as a final thought, what you folks might have thought if, as Ross Perot was allowed to debate, he got 19% of the vote in 92, 8% in 96, and in 96 he only debated once. Now, in the year 2000, Nader hasn't been allowed to debate, and neither is Pat Buchanan. I hasten to think that that they're doing it out of some sorts of rules formulation. Certainly they've gotten together and decided that, no, Nader can't debate. And if he could have, I can better believe that he would have drawn Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, probably gotten somewhere around 20%. Hmm. Thank you for the time, and Okay. Thank you for filling in like this morning. Appreciate
sure thing.
It.
Well, thank you for the call.
Sure.
I think he's got a lot of good points. Yeah. The debates certainly were, the rules were fashioned by the Democratic and Republican parties. The Presidential Debate Commission is essentially a commission of those two parties. And I think the country would have been better off hearing more voices. That said, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think it would have made for a much more interesting debate, although I wouldn't have wanted to be the moderator of that debate. I think it would have been very difficult. Poor Jim Allera would have probably had another heart attack.
Yeah.
So. And we'll just keep going. Well, I tell you maybe what we also need to do, though, one thing here real quick. We need to do this test of the emergency alert system. And this is Focus 580, our telephone talk program. My name is David Inch. Sitting here in the studio with me is Jack Brighton. He's one of the producers for Focus 580. Also will be involved in our coverage tonight on WYL AM FM online of the election. And we're certainly interested in what you have to say. If you have some thoughts about, generally speaking, about how the election has been covered or specifically about what we've done, we'd certainly like to hear from you. And maybe I'll mention just once again that we had planned this morning to be talking with John Hagelin. He is the candidate in this state of the Reform Party and others of the Natural Law Party. His campaign offered us the opportunity to talk with him, and we said, sure, we would do that. And they said, fine, we'll call you. And they didn't. So we decided, well, we'd go ahead and we could just do an open line.
Sure.
And it's a good day to be doing it. Your comments on politics are certainly welcome. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also toll-free anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And our next caller here in line would be in Wheaton, line number 3. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to join this groundswell of Nader supporters. And I just wanted to mention a couple of reasons that I would never vote for Gore. One is his utter lack of imagination. Health care, for instance, he's given us a few crumbs. He wants 8 years to insure all the children. Now, when Clinton came in, there was a lot of support for what they called single payer, I believe, at the time, something like Canada's.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the doctors then were calling it socialized medicine. And but anyhow, Clinton turned it over to Hillary, and she made it so confusing, and she tried to cater to, I believe, to all these special interest groups, the insurance companies and everything, that the thing just fell. But now even the doctors are so down on HMOs, I think they would support single payer. In fact, they should call it Medicare for everybody, you know, make it easy to understand. So I'm really disappointed that Gore doesn't have the courage to push right away for universal health care. And then another thing, he does nothing to educate the electorate on anything new, like I'm sure Nader would be pushing for more power for the UN, perhaps some kind of UN standing army for these emergency situations. And we don't get any new ideas or education at all, just the same old stump speeches. And the third and last thing I wanted to say, I think Clinton and Gore have really dropped the ball in Russia. By now, they should have been our best friends in Europe if this were handled right, but it was handled all wrong. And we have these enemies all over the world, and they're worried about terrorism here. And a good foreign policy, we wouldn't have enemies all over the world. We'd have friends. I think we're trying to do too much for countries like Japan and Western Europe that just don't want to hold up their share of the game. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We appreciate your calling and sharing some of your thoughts with it. It'd be interesting to see exactly what happens here.
We'll see.
With Mr. Nader.
I just want to reflect that call shows that people out there think about issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really true. One thing that, you know, we often hear is, you know, American people don't care about politics, or they're not, you know, they can't handle the issues. I just, you know, you and I have been doing the show too long to buy into that argument, and have heard the comments of people who listen to this station and people elsewhere. People are smart enough to figure things out.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Southern Illinois is our next person. This is line number 4. Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
I, for one, will be thankful when all this negative campaigning is over with. That really turns me off. I mean, I like to look at the issues, but when I hear that negativity, that just kind of turns me off on that person, even though they may actually be the best candidate. But the thing is, you know, I just wish that I could actually see the person's heart and really know their motivation, because these issues are meaningless. You know, and meaning, even for the president, you know, Congress seems to be the one who really makes a lot of the things and really runs the country, you know, and the president just stands for that one voice. You know, I know they do a lot of executive order stuff, but I don't quite understand it. But what the one issue I'm really concerned with is they talk about these criminals on death row, you know, and having sympathy for them. But they don't see that in the same light as these little babies that are in these wombs having sympathy for them. And they say, well, the woman should have her choice. But the woman and the man who made that baby had the choice to join in a sexual relations that led up to that baby. So the choice was already made in my eyes. And there should be no choice over here to kill this baby, because this baby deserves life. It hasn't committed any crimes or anything. It may be the next president. Who knows? But there are lots of people longing for babies and can't have them, and they're just slaughtering these babies. And that just hurts me inside, and I want to see something change, you know. And it seems like Gore, this is hearsay, I know, but before he was even picked for vice president, he was for life. But then he switched over. Now, this is hearsay, I know, but nobody's there to confirm it. You know, they're going to say what they want to say now because they want to get where they want to be. But you know, he was for pro-life, and then all of a sudden, just so he could be vice president, he swapped his thinking, and now he's standing that strong, and I don't like it. And so I voted for Bush. I know these people are talking about Ralph Nader. I farm, and so I got 3 months out of the year that I don't even listen to the radio or nothing, and I'm totally misinformed, and so I have to search for my information. And I didn't hear much about Nader, but I think Bush, for me, when I lived in Miami, Bush's dad was the president when Hurricane Andrew came through, and you know, as soon as there was jobs there, I have never had a problem finding a job. But the moment Clinton got in there, it seemed like I couldn't find a job. And so I found myself here. And, you know, so that's just my thinking. That's my experience, and that's my heart.
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen.
Again, thank you very much. We appreciate the call. We'll just keep on going, talking with as many people as we can. We'll come back here locally to Urbana. That's the next person in line, and line number 1. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, David and Jack. I'm a Democrat. I know a few Republicans and a few Naderites whom I respect greatly. But I wanted to refer to the lady's call about the signs locally.
Mm-hmm.
I know several Democrats whose signs have been ripped up to four times. And so I just want the Naderites to understand that I think this kind of behavior is just a little chink in humankind that we all wish people would not allow to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has any party speciality, and that we should just regret that there are people who rip up anybody's signs, especially if they're placed on private property. So I don't think paranoia is in order, and I hope our local residents realize that this is just negative behavior on individuals' part, not along party lines.
Well, I guess that would be my question. Now, I hear what the caller said, and she said that some people who had signs for Democratic candidates and signs for Mr. Nader, the Nader signs were the only ones that were torn up, so I don't know exactly what to make of that. I guess my initial question would be, well, is this just simple vandalism, or is it politically motivated? I guess we could go out there and we could do a count and see how many signs of what candidate were ripped up and try to make the decision that way. I guess it's
probably a bit of both, David.
I would think so, and I guess at the my bottom line would be to, in a sense, to agree with both you and the other caller and say this is really unfortunate.
It is just quite unfortunate, but we're all receiving these kinds of vandalism acts or political acts, and we just have to say the heck with that and get on with our candidates.
Yeah.
Everybody should vote today. I hope they do.
Yes,
thanks
indeed.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
We'll go next to, let me see, Champagne, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to say a couple things. First of all, I'd like to encourage everybody to get up and go vote. Our democracy depends on participation. Fewer people vote every time, and each time they do that, those people who do vote begin to make more and more of a difference. Your vote gets to be more powerful when less people vote. So get up and vote. Second of all, I'd like to ask a question. I voted Republican, and I vote Republican locally, but not in national elections. What I want to know is, why is this party so based on divestiture of power from the federal government, about freedom to own and use weapons, the freedom to have enterprise, the freedom to do a lot of different things. Why is this party so concerned about what one woman does with her own body? Why is it that this party is so based on taking power away from the government and keeping the government out of your life and making the government smaller and less part of everybody's day-to-day existence? Why do they care what you do with your body? And third of all, I'd like to say kudos to Nader voters. A vote for Nader is not a vote for Gore. If Gore had not lost touch with his party, there would be no Nader support. And that's just it.
Hmm. Just going back to I'm interested in what you have to say about the issue of abortion. I guess it was my impression that the Republican Party was hoping to downplay this issue, that while it was very important, as with the previous caller, it was maybe one of the most important things to some Republicans. To others, they feel that it's less so, and it seems that they think they'll be more successful if they talk less about it.
I think also the loss of Pat Buchanan. Hmm. Like, Pat Buchanan had sway over the Republican Party in certain ways. They had to cater to his people when making their platform, and him being outside the party has drawn away some of that far-right, religious-right support.
Hmm. Well, I suppose, depending on what happens tomorrow, some people will, if Governor Bush is elected, I suppose some people will say that it was a successful strategy to put less emphasis on the social cultural issues and more on, say, economic ones.
I would agree.
I guess we'll find out.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call. And again, we'll just keep right on going to, this is another Urbana person. It's line number three. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm calling about the Nader issue myself.
Yes.
And I'm feeling increasingly frustrated and resentful. I have often voted Democrat. If I had no other choice, absolutely no other choice, including write-in candidates, in this election to vote for Gore or Bush. I honestly don't know what I would have done because I feel like Gore has betrayed us. I feel like he's trying to play to the center, trying to say things that he thinks people want to hear, which, of course, is the opposite of being a leader. For one thing, I would like to have a leader. And they haven't fulfilled the promise of progressiveness that they came into office on 8 years ago. So it's not that I'm a person that would be voting for Gore anyway. I'm not a Democrat. The Democrats don't own me. I'm a person of conscience with a brain, and for once, I'm going to get to go in the voting booth and vote for somebody I feel good for. And as far as the argument that, you know, this is a wasted vote because he's not going to win, that is absolutely not true. It is an investment in the future of our country. Hmm. It's an investment in the Green Party, which I believe is a good thing. So it's an investment in the future of our country. And I just think that the people that are harassing, the Democrats that are harassing the Nader supporters are looking at the wrong issues and looking at it the wrong way, and I think they're very short-sighted. It's not. I won't be thrilled to see Bush get in if Nader voters end up, you know, costing Gore votes. I don't like Bush. I won't be thrilled to see him get in, but I feel like I have to put my personal feelings about Bush aside and vote my conscience and investment for the future of this country. Thank you.
I wonder just if I could ask you a quick question, and I'm just sort of curious. As you say, the conventional wisdom says that if Ralph Nader wasn't running, that the people who are supporting him would be supporting Mr. Gore. And I'm just curious, based on what you said and based on your experience and the people that you know, whether you think that there might be significant numbers of people who will be voting for Mr. Nader who, as I think I hear you say, would not be voting for Gore. If Nader wasn't an issue, that
right.
Perhaps those people might not be voting at all.
Right. To tell you the truth, I mean, I would vote, but I don't know if I would vote for a presidential candidate. Four years ago, you know, I let friends convince me that rather than vote for Nader and risk putting Dole in the White House, I should vote for the Clinton-Gore ticket, and I did, and I regret it terribly. Not because of any of the personal stuff. I thought the impeachment stuff was a total waste of time. It's the issues, and I regret so much that I didn't vote for Nader 4 years ago. I would go and vote because I would. But there are local people that I want to vote for, but I would not. I honestly don't know. Maybe I would withhold my vote in a protest if I couldn't find a registered write-in candidate that I support. Maybe I would just not vote on a presidential candidate. Because I think the Democrats need to see, you know, no, you can't betray us and expect that we'll still vote for you because, you know, we don't like the Republicans. They need to see that they don't represent a lot of people anymore.
Well, again, I appreciate your call. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
For sharing your ideas with us.
Thank you.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, and perhaps I should mention again for anyone who's tuned in expecting to hear us talking with John Hagelin, and we did say that we were going to be doing that. We had, in fact, planned to be doing that, and they were going to call us to initiate the connection at the beginning of the hour, and we never heard from them, so we're sorry about that. I think now, as we've talked about it, we've decided that probably we should have made more of an effort to talk with third-party candidates. We did invite Mr. Buchanan and Mr. Nader to be on the show, and they turned us down, or their campaigns turned us down. And I think, though, that as we've talked about it, we've decided that if we're all still here doing this in another 4 years, we will make sure that we have whatever third-party candidates on that will do this, at least certainly the ones that are on the ballot. We'll talk to them. But that's some years down the road. We're doing here a little Election Day open line. If you'd like to call in and tell us what you think of the candidates and the issues, you can do that. We have the lines are full. We have about 10 minutes. We'll try to get in as many people as we possibly can. And here I'll give you the number again, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The next person here in line would be Terre Haute, Indiana. Line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling from Terre Haute here.
Yes.
I am really concerned about the way Mr. Bush was selected to represent the Republican Party. On one hand, his level of ignorance is really scary. When he was asked, when he said that we have overcommitted our troops overseas, and he was asked from which point he would like to withdraw them to reach a level of satisfaction, he named only 2 points. One was 80, where there are only 29 observers, American observers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he named Kosovo,
mm-hmm.
where we don't have more than maybe, I don't know, 500. And no more. He stopped there. And also when he was asked to name strategic points as far as the American foreign policy is concerned, he said that Africa has no strategic importance to the United States. And, of course, when anywhere he went to campaign, he always made sure he had what I call black flowers. There were always black faces behind him to make sure that he cared. It does really scare me. The last point I want to make about Mr. Bush is that he had made the point that the economy is doing so well now because of the genius of the American people. But the very same American people were there when the leadership before Bill Clinton almost drowned the economy of this country. It scares me to see that he's surrounding himself with the so-called experts who come from the very old generations. His only running mate was supposed to have been a Texan just a week before he made it official. He has to change his residence. Those are very same slicky things we don't like about Democrats. So I am really scared that Mr. Bush may be elected president with this level of ignorance.
Mm. Thank you. Again, I appreciate the comments. Thank you very much. We have others. We'll just keep going. We'll go next to Urbana, and this would be line number one. Hello.
Hi. I want to thank you for the election coverage. I think you guys have done a great job, and it's really important to me to be able to call in and talk to candidates, so I really appreciate that. I wanted to say that my Todd Satterthwaite sign got ripped off a long time ago, and my neighbor's Ralph Nader sign is still standing up very proudly right down the street worrying everybody. So I just want to let you know that other signs, and I've seen Tim Johnson's sign get lost a couple of times too, so I don't know anything about that except that my Saturday sign just disappeared, and I only had that because they are the only ones who called me. I do want to say, in response to other callers today, I kind of wish that the previous caller who said that she wished she'd have voted for Nader last time, I wish she had too. The Supreme Court is hanging in the balance. The next president of the United States will appoint up between 2 and 5 U.S. Supreme Court justices. Those are lifetime appointments. We're talking about constitutional law for the next 10, 20, maybe 30 years. So I just think people ought to take that very seriously. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, and thank you again for the call. We'll go next to Champaign and line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not even going to plug a candidate here. I want to ask, is there much talk about getting rid of the Electoral College, because this looks like it's going to be a good turnout this year, and I hate to see the popular vote not go with the Electoral College, and don't you think that system's a little bit outdated?
I'm not sure myself. You know, as a matter of fact, this is something that I had thought we probably should have done a show on, to talk about what the system is, how it works, why we have it, and why some people think that it should be changed. Depending upon what happens, you know, as so many people have pointed out, if we had one candidate win the popular vote and one candidate win the Electoral College, then there's going to be a huge outcry for that to be changed. Otherwise, you know, it'll be 4 years and nobody will talk about it for the next 4 years.
Right. I think you got to remind people how it came into place and how the two-party system came into place. And, you know, let's face it, it is outdated. And do you think this is going to be a big turnout for this election?
Well, gosh, I I think if Champaign County is any indication, yes.
Yeah.
Because we now have a record, if I'm remembering this correctly, we have a record number of people registered. Now, of course, that doesn't actually mean they're all going to go vote.
Yeah.
But just based on that, based on the level of interest, I guess I would say that I would think so.
Yeah.
Again, that remains to be seen. That would be encouraging, but in a sense, it's also still a little discouraging because there are so many people who don't choose to vote. But yeah. I kind of think that there will be.
I think the elimination of the two-party system might encourage people a little bit more. But that's my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, there are many people who we've heard from a lot of people this morning who said they're going to be voting for Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
People generally say that they're disenchanted with the choices, and there are some people who say that they don't think that there's enough difference between the two. I guess I would think that a more vibrant system would be in everybody's interest, and if people would get more energized and there would be lots and more discussion
right.
about issues, that would be a good thing. And if there were more candidates, you know, particularly strong, articulate candidates, and they had an opportunity to make their views known, I guess I would say that would be a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Rush Limbaugh. Their way is, you know, what are you, a liberal or a Republican or whatever, and then I'll listen to your idea. It's not I'll listen to your idea, and then it's kind of along the lines. They want to know who you are before they want to hear what you say. And I just get tired of that.
I think, you know, over time, as more voters are interested in identifying themselves as independents and not with one of the other parties, maybe that says that, you know, we have people who are willing to who would say, yeah, I would vote for a Democrat, I would vote for a Republican, I would vote for another party. What I'm interested in is what that person has to say. So
yeah.
Maybe over time that might change.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're just about the point where we have to stop here. I guess we'll do one more. In Urbana, line one. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. My husband and I always vote pro-life because we feel that's the bottom line for us in any decision. It's wonderful to say that talk about women's choice, but when you think that women's choice involves two lives, not just one, because it's indisputable that that is human life, then that decision has to take into consideration the innocent life as well as the woman's choice. And you can hardly equate women's choice with the choice to work in any kind of profession, the choice for the equality of pay with the choice of ending another human life. And so that's always the issue that trumps every other issue for us. And I can never understand why people will say, well, I'm against abortion, but there are other issues. Well, surely the taking of innocent human life would have to trump all of these other issues.
Hmm. Well, again, as I've said to the other callers, I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much for calling.
Sure.
I'm sorry to sort of jump in on you there, but we're going to have to stop because we've used the time for this hour. And again, before we finish, we certainly do want to remind folks that we will have coverage on WYLL AM, FM, TV, and online tonight. Jack Brighton will be involved. And what time are we going to start?
We're going to start 8 o'clock locally. Actually, we'll probably have updates before then.
All right.
And National Public Radio's coverage begins at 5.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Thanks to everybody who called. Hope you'll tune in.